That was a tougher crowd for Jesus to deal with, the Pharisees. But he would rather be with those who identified themselves as sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors and derelicts. They were just happy to have someone expressing love to them. Just being with Jesus, they could see the truth with their very own eyes. They knew that they were lost and wanted to change their ways. But the Pharisees could not be moved, with few exceptions. So we need to recognize that we are lost and are in need of renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Even pastors like myself, I need to recognize my lostness in relying on my theological training, my book learning, and experience as a pastor. I can easily substitute all this for a real communion with a living God, doing the academic stuff. And I can be resentful of others who seem to have it more together spiritually than I do. I need to swallow my pride and admit and celebrate the fact that some in this congregation have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ than I do. Is that possible? It is possible. And secondly, be prepared to be found and brought home. This has to do with being obedient to God's voice and adopting a spirit of humility. The Bible says, "He who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." God has a way of turning the tables on the proud and the humble. The story of the prodigal son and the elder son is a story of a God who goes searching for you and for me and doesn't rest until he has found us. So knowing this truth gives us hope. When life doesn't seem fair, when we feel like we've been dealt a bad deck of cards, when we're at our rope's end physically, mentally, and spiritually, we know we have a God who is relentless in searching us out. This is a God who is passionate about bringing us home to the closeness of his heart. His greatest desire is to bring us home to the banquet of his love that has no end. This builds trust in the Lord, knowing that he wants me and you home more than anything, like the prodigal son and the elder son. So thirdly, along with trust in the Lord, there needs to be gratitude. Gratitude is the opposite of resentment. We need to develop that attitude of gratitude that John Erickson Tata coined long ago. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." That daily practice of gratitude is so important, creating a discipline that involves a conscious choice that I'm going to be thankful today for what God has given me. Debbie and I had the privilege of going to Sheffield, England, to be immersed in a congregation that is going through a revival. And what makes it tick? It's in a country where there's only 3% church, England. Some of you have been there. Some churches are now art museums, mosques, and very many unchurched people. But this church in Sheffield has 2,500 members, made up of 70% of people who are 40 years and younger in age. So you got to see what's going on. And one of the things they do in their life groups is to share something they've been thankful to God for and what they've experienced in the past week. It's not a laundry list of needs or challenges, but what they're thankful for. It sets the tone. It's that attitude of gratitude that we've been talking about. And this closes the gap between resentment and the love of Christ, the love of the Father, being thankful. The elder son wasn't. He wasn't. We don't know what happened after this parable. Did he join the party, or was he left out in the field, or just resentful of what's going on? Notice in this text, the father runs out to both sons. That's a key to this parable. The father hears the complaint of the elder son, but doesn't rebuke his anger. He says, "My son," which in Greek is technon, which is an affectionate rendering meaning child. "My child, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. I have always loved you." The father is saying to the older son, "The elder son, the elder daughter here today, the banquet is for you too. I don't want anyone to be lost, including you. Come home." with me and join in the celebration. For my son who is dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. I want you to notice again that distance between in the painting between the elder son and what seems to be and is the main event, the return of the prodigal son. That there's a tension there. Rembrandt purposely did this. He could have put that in the center, the waiting father and the prodigal son, but he purposely shifted it to the left because there's another son, the elder son, stern looking. He's got the staff. He's very slender. The light is on both of them, and yet the elder son stays at a distance because of his resentment. And the father is always aware of this painful distance and desires for both to be in the celebration of his younger son's return home. You know, there's another son who is never resentful, Jesus. Jesus was the greatest human being who ever walked this earth. In Jesus, there is no distance from his father. John 14:11 says, you must believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. There's no resentment when right after being blessed by the Father in baptism, he was sent into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. There is no resentment when God gave him as companions the roughest, toughest, densest, foolish men he could have had in the fishermen and tax collector to boot. And he made them leaders of the new church. There is no resentment when Jesus prayed at the Mount of Olives, knowing what was ahead of him in Jerusalem. He asked for the cup of suffering to be taken away from him, but he accepted the Father's answer and said, not my will, but thy will be done. There was no resentment when he was nailed to the cross between two thieves, dying an innocent death. He could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We who believe have Jesus in us. Isn't that a great miracle? I just keep being astounded by that miracle, that we have Jesus in us. Jesus chooses to dwell in the hearts of common, ordinary people like you and me. And in that dwelling place of our hearts, there's a calling to come closer to him, to come home to the Father's blessing. So my friends, there's no time to waste. No time to waste. There's a banquet going on that you and I don't want to miss. There's no time for jealousy, resentment, or being judgmental over those who seem to have it better than us, those new Christians who seem to have more enthusiasm in life than us. So deal with God where you are right now. As he says, my son, my daughter, my child, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. Come home. It's an invitation of grace. Socially and unconditionally, totally and unconditionally, a gift of love from the Father who created us, redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and who sustains us with his powerful Spirit. Amen. Let's sing our hymn. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth, to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will."
My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant dear, and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One, strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lonely one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones, and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things, and left the wealthy apart. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one, strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here, and blessed me all my life through.
Glory be to God the Father, Son of God. Glory be to God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, shall be now and evermore. With our hearts we magnify thee, with one voice we sing Amen.
Between nations, for peace between peoples. us in love.
For all those who govern, that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love. In love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days.
Amen.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks again for Jenna and all of you for worshiping tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you Saturday, and if not then next Tuesday as we complete our Lenten series.